on Balls Radio.
Balls Radio with Phil Dobby.
So if you got a hold of a new iPhone, which is of course now even slimmer, or you've that's about all, or you've downloaded the new operating system, you will have noticed the sudden disappearance of Google Maps. Instead, it's been replaced by Apple's own maps. So what does all this mean? Well, to talk about the disappearance of Google Maps and whether it signifies some seismic shift in how we navigate with our smartphones or a change to the future of the magic kingdom that is Apple, here's our regular commentator on all things technology. He's a writer for Crikey, a podcaster for ZDNet, but most importantly, he's the technology correspondent for Balls Radio. It's still going.
Doesn't it?
It sounds good to me.
It sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Less fantastic is Apple Maps.
Yeah.
You said it would be a seismic shift in the way people navigate. Well, I think it would be, because they would discover that Berlin is at the South Pole.
the best place for it.
Which is one of the best. I can't do that. If you're in the inner west of Sydney and want to go to Croydon Station, which strikes me as something you might want to do because that's one of the railway stations in the inner west of Sydney, it will direct you to Croydon Station in Queensland.
Oh.
And that's not even a railway station. It's a cattle station.
Yeah, I noticed actually. So I've tried to use the navigation tool where supposedly someone talks to you, as I saw in a video somewhere, but I couldn't get any sound out of it. And also, I kept on deliberately going the wrong way because, you know, it's the sort of thing I do. And also, you know, I live on the north.
Sums up your life, really.
It does. I was going to say, I live on the north shore of Sydney, so you've got to find something to, you know, fill the time. And even though I was deliberately going the wrong way, just wouldn't recalculate the route. It just kept on telling me, do a U-turn and go back to where I told you to start from. You know, it's a bit like that old Irish joke, isn't it? How do I get to Belfast? Well, it depends where you're starting from.
Yeah, and you can't get there from here.
Yes.
which by a strange coincidence, is the title of the Patch Monday podcast this week, where I spoke about these issues with Apple Maps with a bloke who's done maps his whole life. He, for example, was the chief technologist and chief cartographer for a little place called Rand McNally.
Right. Okay.
You know,
they may
know a bit about maps.
Well, I was going to ask whatever happened to Gregory's. You know, those weighty tomes that almost completely filled your
Gregory's.
Glove box.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, you had to get it, but you couldn't get a small car in those days because you couldn't fit the street directory in it.
They have, of course, all been replaced by technology and TomTom and Navman and all the others, which have not just maps, which in theory can be kept up to date more easily than having to print a whole new, you know, telephone book sized thing, but can give you turn by turn directions, you know, and then the turn left in 200 meters, although it's the other way around. You always give people, this is how, whenever you're giving instructions, you should always orient people first and then say what you want to do. So you say, in 200 meters, turn left. Because otherwise, if you say, turn left, I'll start turning left now. In 200 meters, sorry.
You've driven into someone's front lawn. Oh, dear. So this looks like it's a big mistake then by Apple. I mean, it looks like, unusually for them, they've launched something out into the market that's just not ready.
Well, I think Apple was suffering from something called the Dunning-Kruger effect.
Right.
Now, these were a couple of psychologists who did some research. The Dunning-Kruger effect is great. If you want to summarize it in a colloquial way, it means these people are too stupid to even know they're stupid.
Right.
Or too ignorant, I should say, to know that they're ignorant of an area.
They don't know what they don't know, sort of thing.
That's right. Mm. And this is actually like a real, properly researched psychological thing that you actually have to know a certain amount about a subject before you realize you actually don't really know very much about that subject.
Right.
And people who are ignorant of an area always assume that it's a lot easier and they know more about it than they do, whereas the experts are the ones that have doubts and go, oh, that's hard, I'm not quite sure whether I'm going to be able to do that, and so on. So my feeling, based on the conversations I've had, is that Apple just really didn't understand how phenomenally difficult this stuff is. So when you get all of these complex databases for maps, and this is the thing, we kind of assume, oh, look, there's satellite imagery and aerial imagery, and there's maps of all of the roads in an area and so on. You've kind of got to merge all of these different data sources, and they might be set up in different ways. They might use different encoding for things. So that's why we've got, for example, Apple Maps is currently showing all of the market areas in Helsinki in Finland are currently being shown as parkland.
So why have they done this? What is it simply because they don't like Google? Because of course Google is behind Android. Android's their big competitor, and so they don't want anything to do with them. Because I noticed that when I upgraded my operating system, Chrome mysteriously disappeared from my mobile phone.
I mean, that's it. We've spoken about this before. The three great empires of mobile phones. You've got Apple with their iOS operating system. You've got Google with Android, with a whole different bunch of hardware manufacturers. And you've got Microsoft with Windows Phone. And again, a variety of hardware manufacturers there. Now, getting that phone and the operating system into everyone's hands is one thing. The next part is who is tracking all of that data that you are feeding into it. Now, Apple's problem having Google Maps on their phone is that every time you searched for an Italian restaurant in Mossman or, you know, whatever it might be, all of that data was going back to Google, not to Apple. So Google is building up this rich record of the things you're interested in, where you travel to. You know, if you're looking for a baby wear shop, then presumably you have a young baby. If you're looking for, you know, looking up the rugby scores, well, you're interested in rugby. And all of this becomes a rich and complex profile of you, which means that they can more accurately target advertising and charge more for the advertising. And Google is an advertising company. That's 98% of their revenue comes from advertising. So Apple was, if you like, presenting people with this wonderful device, and then all of that data was going off to Google. And now Apple wants to be in that game too. But in a sense, they're beginners at this game. So they're not really an advertising company. They're a gadget company.
But do you think they do? That's the word that, do you think in terms of advertising, that's where they want to be next? They're not happy being the richest company in the world from selling hardware and an operating system.
Well, the thing is, in the world of Silicon Valley, you have to keep growing, and you have to keep growing at phenomenal rates. And, you know, when every person of middle class and above on the entire planet has an iPhone and an iPad each, what, you know, what's left?
Yeah.
Hip replacement surgery.
Well, I mean, you need, of course, yeah, it needs to be for every person. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, there's still a long way to go because we need we need another iPad in our family because I can't get my iPad time because the kids have got it. So and yes, so it goes on. But I mean, obviously they're going to have to correct this problem, aren't they? Because I mean, it is. I mean, I've noticed as well. I've only been on it a couple of times. The maps are hopeless. They look pretty good. If you want to sort of do a flyby through the center of New York, then that's fine. But
well, that's it. They concentrated on a couple of high, and this is where I think it's been a marketing mistake. They concentrated on a couple of high profile cities: New York, San Francisco, Sydney, you know, a few others, and said, look at these fantastic high resolution 3D fly through images and whatever. But that's not what people use maps for every day. I mean, there are people who love maps and looking at maps. I'm one of those people. They can be works of art, and those 3D fly-throughs can be works of art as well. The problem is really how people use maps are, I'm in the city. I have to get to a meeting, but I've got to drop off my suit to be dry cleaned. Where's the nearest dry cleaner that's open on a Saturday?
Yeah.
You know, and you need that now.
It's going to be very hard, isn't it, to move people away from Google Maps, I think. I mean, you know, Microsoft have tried it as well. I don't think with much success. I mean, Google has claimed the territory here. And it's interesting as well how they're now, I don't know whether this is working for them, but they're now experimenting with getting us to contribute. So things that aren't shown on maps, we almost, you know, let's have a collaborative world project almost to try and build a better map based on your local places or walking tracks that you know, all that sort of thing.
Well, that's probably the way to go because, you know, it, just making sure everything is up to date is the hardest problem with any map. I mean, there's no point showing someone, hey, there's a dry cleaners at this address if it closed 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, you're just going to frustrate people. Now, this is where Apple has to really face up to a complex challenge. Google Maps has 7,100 people working for it around the world, more than 7,000
wow.
people. Yeah. And the vast majority of them are looking at reports. And Google Maps has always had a report, a problem button. Now they've rolled out the Google Map Maker, which means you can actually go in and start manipulating it directly itself. But they've got thousands of people looking at all of these error reports going in and going, hey, you're right. When we look at this council boundary, it's completely in the wrong street when we compare it with this other map. Something's gone wrong. We'll fix it. And Google's, you know, not only got vastly more people, thousands, whereas Apple only has hundreds working on it. Google's had a 7-year head start. So the feeling I have talking to people is that, you know, Apple's going to take some years to catch up.
Mm.
And
if this is central to their strategy, then this is the chink in the armor, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Because the software developers now face a problem. If they're writing an app for an iPhone or iPad that uses mapping and location in some way, they have a choice. They can either use some software called MapKit, which makes their job easier because it plugs directly into whatever maps Apple make available, or they kind of have to write their own program code to connect to Google or to Microsoft's Bing Maps or whoever. And so the developers are now in that awkward position. And so they have let's say it's a bank and, you know, show us where all of the ATMs are. Again, something you need in a hurry when you need cash. Does a major bank stay with MapKit and the way they've written it, knowing that the maps are now rubbish, or do they write their own and then think, well, why are we using Apple's interface here at all? We'll use Google Maps. There's no problem. They can write their software to use Google Maps. But again, as you say, that cuts Apple out of that data. And to give you an idea of just one little factoid about how important this data is, researchers at Nokia, who apparently they're a phone company. I remember them.
About the time of Gregory's, I think they were the phone company, weren't they?
it's a bit cruel, but they actually do have a very good mapping division as part of their empire. They have done some research and they have found that if they are tracking your location data just from what your phone is sending back, you know, which cell towers it's connecting to and where you are and so on, they can predict where you will be 24 hours ahead within 20 meters to more than 90% accuracy.
Really? That's
because
based on
most people have exceedingly regular patterns.
Yeah.
And their patterns change from that regularity by other things they can measure, whether it's the weather, whether it's things in the news, and so on.
Yeah,
so,
well, you see, they have difficulty with me driving aimlessly around the streets of the North Shore, desperately trying to find something to do. They'd find me a bit of an anomaly, I think.
Alzheimer's is a tragic thing.
That's all. Maybe they know. Maybe that's it. Maybe the mapping programs are going to start consulting with our doctors and they'll send out somebody to pick me up and take me home again.
Look, cross-referencing all of this information about us is one of the biggest changes of us all carrying in our pockets what is essentially a mobile tracking device and is capable, should we let it, of logging pretty much everything we allow it to log on our behalf.
Yeah.
And we have built up an interesting ecosystem of software applications that we expect to get for free or for 99 cents or $1.99. And how many of us kind of read through the fine print and see, so I'm giving you details of how much I've eaten today as part of this diet tracking program, but who am I giving that to?
Yeah. Where is it all going? Well, look, still going, we'll leave it there, but it does sound like in that future where everything is cross-referenced, Apple wants to be part of it. It sounds like they're a long way behind. They've got to lift their game with their maps. And as you say, perhaps they don't realize how big the task in hand is. We'll see.
Well, I think they've realized it now.
Yeah. Well, I think the immediate feedback will. Well, I mean, they'll obviously be listening to this and they will have listened to your podcast and they'll be scared, I'm sure.
Yes.
Good to talk.
As always, Phil, see you next time.